Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, the business of the church has always been heaven, eternal life. There should never be any confusion about her mission and her mandate. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I am with you always until the end of the age. This was the promise and the final command of Jesus before his ascension. Yes, we can build schools, we can build wonderful churches, but our mission is to bring as many souls to heaven as possible. In the present trial and temptation, if you like, it appears the church is confused. I'm telling you this from my perspective about our mission, about what we're supposed to do. It is really sad. Why am I saying this? Now, if you read history from the perspective of just things happening one day after the other, but not from a spiritual perspective, you will fall into the mistake the leadership of the church has fallen into now. Now, when I was in school studying philosophy, I remember an idea by a professor called deism. The idea that God is a disinterested watchmaker. He makes the world like a watch, a clock, and then he abandons it and travels forever. So the world runs itself. You know the danger of that kind of idea? Anyone who can control the clock controls destiny and history. Now, if you think like that, when things happen, you don't ask for a spiritual perspective. You do not see God's plan of action in every event. You think everything is chance or accident. When that happens, you can interpret events anyhow, and you can be seriously mistaken. A few years ago, we had a survey asking Catholics about faith in the real presence. It came back that almost half of the church, now I would consider that it would be half of the laity, don't really believe in the real presence. The survey was not done among church leaders. But in the present circumstance, from all the instructions we've received from the Rome, from the Vatican, from the local bishop, I'm asking myself, do we as church leaders truly believe the Eucharist is Jesus if we stop people from access to it? In the greatest crisis, where should we run? Where should we go? Shouldn't it be to him if he is truly and really present? Why would Jesus make anyone sick receiving communion? Why would we even conceive of anyone getting sick in the church? Why shouldn't we fight to have prayer warriors, even to have Catholic hospital test everyone before entering the church to guarantee that they don't have a fever? Why wouldn't we do what hospitals have done? Even grocery stores. Why haven't we put up a fight? Why has the city of God bowed to the city of men? How can that happen in our own time? That is what is going on, my friends. I wonder what the church will look like when we come out from this situation, where people get used to watching mass on television, and we tell them spiritual communion is enough, and they decide to stay home and not go to mass. How are we going to encourage them to believe anymore? The danger of the present situation has catastrophic implications, as far as I am concerned. That is why your presence here is such an encouragement to me, such a blessing. So we believe in the real presence. This is Jesus. We believe that there is no life without the Eucharist. Unless you eat and drink of the flesh of the Son of Man and his blood, you have no life. These are words of the Lord himself in the Gospel of John. How can we forget everything he taught us? How could the early church have been prepared to die? Sell everything like you hear in the first reading. Give it away to the poor and live for Christ. And today we cling to earthly life and not eternal life. In what is happening, in my opinion, Jesus has tested the whole church. Tested all of history to see how many have taken him seriously. whether we think that everything that happens in the world is controlled by Him or not. This has been a trial, a test for everyone, from the highest to the least. If people take Jesus seriously, or if the church is just a business, we have nice sounding ideas that we throw around, but we don't really believe them. What do you think Jesus is thinking about the present situation? If you were Jesus, what would you do? You know, the Lord has told us so many things. He promised to be with us. But even more so, He is present in the church. Even when we gather, when two or three are gathered in My name, I am there. Not even when the Eucharist is present. When we gather in His name. So how do we conceive that when we gather in His name, something wrong can happen? Especially in His house. Is He not almighty? Is He not all-powerful? Is He not eternal? There are so many questions raised in the context of what is going on. And I'm saying this to you, so you hold on to the true spirit of the church, which you have in your heart, which is why I invited you to this Mass. For we have to protect and preserve what remains of the real church. It seems to me like a very small church, a thin church. But for the sake of the few, the Lord might save the rest. It has always been like that. Like one for the whole world. Maybe a few for the entire church. So do what you're doing. Do not give up. Do not be dismayed. I am not worried. I am not afraid. But it simply amazes me. Even to look around me, and many of my brothers are crippled. Many don't say Mass. We're allowed to say private Masses. And I ask clear questions. What does it mean? Just have it at a different time. Invite people. Don't open it to the public. Invite people that, you know, maybe people who requested Mass will want to come. So I have been doing that. If I have 200 people a day wanting Mass, I'm going to have 20 Masses. But that is what needs to be done. I believe in it. But sometimes even my own people here in Luling are so scared. They see me from 1 mile, hello, Father. You know, I'm thinking when they come back, I leave the church from the back. After preaching to them, I'll tell them, I don't know where you've been. I'm not going to say hello to you. I'm not standing at the door. You all go home. I'm not sure where you've been. I've not seen you for 2 months. See ya, bye. What do you think they'll do to me? Shoot me? Brothers and sisters, I'm just inflicting my ideas upon you, but I'm encouraging you to do whatever you're doing. We've always known that this is our life. This is eternal life. Whatever we do on earth, whatever work we do is given to us by God, but history is in the hand of Christ. I am sure that within a few months, at the end of this crisis, that Jesus is going to do something to the world to shock everyone. And you who believe in Him and hold fast to Him, you will be vindicated when that time comes. But anyone who has shifted or doubted, like Thomas, anyone who has not had their faith in Him strengthened, will have to explain to him somehow what many years of faith means. You've been a Catholic for 40 years. What does it mean to you to go to Mass, to receive communion? There is nobody who comes to me and wants to receive communion and I refuse you. One Sunday, Palm Sunday, I gave our communion here to over 160 people and I was called by the Archbishop. I hear you're giving communion outside. I said, yes, the people are hungry. He said, oh no, the doctor says you cannot do that. I said, why? I was careful. Well, you can pass the virus from one person to the other. I said, really? Who said that? The doctors. I didn't ask him who, but you don't question your superiors. I said, okay, well, I was just practicing this so I can do it on Easter Sunday. He said, oh, no, you can't. I said, really? He said, no. I said, okay, sir, thank you very much. But that was my plan. He said, I shouldn't. So the sin is on his head. I tried. But you see, we can apply rules to protect people. The church is also a hospital. We are also more essential than grocery stores. Why don't we make the effort? This is what surprises me. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born from above, unless you become like a little child, unless you're born of God, you cannot enter the kingdom. Unless you think like him, unless you see his hand in everything that happens. You know, the first week, Monday before the first announcements came, Monday before Thursday when the bishops began to announce we should stop this and stop that, I got a call from one of the visionaries from Medjugorje. Very strange call on a Monday. It was my day off. The Blessed Mother wants me to know that her final battle with the devil is happening now, that she wanted to send me a warning so I'd be ready. The announcements began Thursday, Friday, and the following Monday. I did not connect the events till much later. I said, oh, so it is the devil that is behind trying to control even the church. So if there is an idea now, for instance, there's a vaccine discovered. Are the bishops going to impose it on every Catholic to take the chip and the vaccine? You see where this is going? When that happens, we're going to have a persecution because I will not accept to be branded. But that is why the church must not be controlled by the state. The church is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot trust politicians or trust all those people to think heaven. They can sound nice, they can look very good, but you cannot trust them. We can trust those chosen by God, not those chosen by vote, because anyone can win. But we're not thinking like that today. How can we not? So I call you to pray deeply these days. Don't be afraid, don't be worried. Jesus has everything under control, but pray. Unless you are born from above, ask the Lord to brand your heart with that spirit that comes from above, that whatever happens, you and yours will be spared and protected. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Do not be deceived by anyone. God is not punishing the world. This is just a test to see who loves him and who doesn't, even in the church. Make sure you love him. And when you pray to him, pray from your heart. When you do anything, do it out of love. Even if it is little, it matters. That is the only way to survive these days. Like you can drive from so far to Mass. That is the kind of thing Jesus wants to see. That is faith. That means this matters to you. It matters to me too. And if we keep it that way, the Lord just might have mercy on the world and save all of us. Always one for the many. Keep that in mind. God bless you. Let us pray.